I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome, everyone, to a very, very, very spooky episode of Nerdy Show. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Hex.
I'm Brandon.
And with us this evening, we've also got an honorary producer on the line, none other than Arceus.
Hello.
The reason we've got him on is that this is a Ghostbusters-themed episode. We're going to be talking about, of course, Ghostbusters, which, inevitably, I'd say every other episode at least contains some kind of mention of Ghostbusters, and so it's only natural that sooner or later we would devote an entire episode to talking about Ghostbusters. Arceus has impressed upon me that I, as one of the biggest Ghostbusters fans I've ever met, he outclasses all of us, except perhaps Brian, but I don't think Brian has his own proton pack.
I have two of them.
Oh.
Officially outclassed. We're hoping that
and a slime blower, and just about everything else.
Oh my god.
I got a slime blower too, pal, but I don't talk about it.
But do you have a containment unit?
I like to think so.
Sure. Until
it wears out. Anyhow, we're hoping that Brian's going to join us. He said he was going to, but maybe he got, you know, tied up.
He's always patrolling for the lawnmower man, so you never know.
Yeah.
He's seeing that woman, and he does always literally get tied up, so he probably just can't get to the computer.
Hmm. This is true. This is true. So
he prefers handcuffs to rope. He told me that once.
And whatever we say about him while he's not here, he'll never hear.
No,
it's
he
canon.
To it.
It's also canon.
He can say whatever he wants.
He told me all this. It's true.
Yeah, it's true. It's all true. So with us on for this entire episode, some gentlemen who are working with Ghostbusters right now to make one of the greatest extensions of the franchise that we've ever experienced, if I do say so myself. You may remember in our 2011 Top 20 Nerdy Things list that IDW's ongoing Ghostbusters comic by Eric Burnham, Dan Schoening, and Tristan Jones was a high-ranking item, and we said that it was the best thing not written by Ramis and Aykroyd. I still stand by that, and right now with us on the line, we have Eric Burnham and Dan Schoening. Welcome, guys.
Hey there. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah.
It is a pleasure. Ever since I cracked your book open, I have been wanting to talk to you guys. It just seeped with so much authentic Ghostbusters passion and nerdery that
it was,
I knew.
It was oozing.
Yes, it was oozing, if you will.
Yeah. It was like a river of slime of pleasure. Ghostbusters goodness.
Yes. So we're going to talk about Ghostbusters in this episode. We're also going to talk about Crystal Head Vodka, because as listeners may know, Dan Aykroyd is a man of many talents, and among them, in the recent years, he's added Vodka Maker to that list. He's created a very, very, very unique vodka. It's exceptionally pure, and it is distributed inside of a crystal human skull. And during this episode,
it is a real crystal real human skull. A real human crystal skull.
A human named Crystal.
Well, yeah.
He gave up her skull.
Yeah.
For this.
Technicality.
So that we can drink vodka.
Look who decided to show up. Well, well, well. Brian Clevenger.
What?
We just started talking a bit about Crystal Head Vodka.
Oh, well, then I need to go get some.
Have you some?
Yes, obviously.
Perfect.
So there are three people on right now that have this, so we should all drink it at the same time at some point. All
right, I'm going to go get a shot. I'll be back in like 1 minute.
Okay. Well, while Brian's going to get this shot glass, we should say how we acquired this Crystal Head Vodka.
Yeah.
I don't know. I sat down and it was here.
You're welcome.
Purely legitimate means.
Yeah. We actually had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing Dan Aykroyd, and you're going to be hearing that interview later on in this episode. He talks to us about his product, but also the paranormal. which is a great fascination of his, as he is a noted spiritualist and paranormal expert, and there's really not much difference between him and Dr. Raymond Stans.
I'm actually worried that drinking this is going to do something to me. Whether it be existential or spiritual. Metaphysical or spiritual, something is going to happen, for better or worse.
Your PKE meter, Mark, is
I might just vomit a lot. We don't know.
Oh. That's why I'm not drinking.
That'll be paranormal vomit.
I'll do that anyway.
I'm a non-drinker, so I won't be having any. I guess I'm the designated driver for this episode.
You can drive me to a room next door, thanks.
I will. I'll steer you to the toilet. I'll hold your hair back. I'll kiss you goodnight.
You do that anyway.
Well, you know. Like I need an excuse, I guess. I don't know. But Hex also is sick, so he's not, and he's well medicated right now, so he's not going to be combining these two
items. A clever excuse.
But I heard that mushroom makes you feel good, so I couldn't miss the episode.
And then also, Arceus is going to be drinking.
Yes. I have a bottle that I bought back when they first started selling it, and then I forgot about it. So we're going to find out how well it ages after 4 years in a closet.
Wow.
Destiny, it was waiting for this moment. Brian, are you ready? Are you prepared?
I am totally ready.
Oh, wait, are we all doing this right now?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I got to pour my shots.
Let me pour mine.
God damn it, guys.
See, our bottle is also special because it's actually signed by Dan Aykroyd. You wouldn't know it to look at it.
I don't want
to
spill the vodka on the signature because I'm pretty sure the alcohol will just rub it off.
That's a very good point.
Let me pour it backwards.
I can smell it from here. Let me take a whiff of that.
I'm going to put it up to it, see if it makes any hissing sounds.
It smells like vodka.
Oh, that smells wonderful.
It smells a little better than vodka, actually. It doesn't smell as strong or deathly.
Yeah.
The irony of that.
Okay, we all ready for this.
Ready.
Now, should we down it, or is this the type of vodka where you kind of like swish it in your mouth to get the full effect?
This is so smooth.
Right.
Really?
Go for it.
All right.
All right.
One, two, three, go. Here we go. Wow.
That's good.
I didn't... There it is.
Yeah, sometimes the burn can take a second.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't cough right...
Oh, there it is.
That actually... It tasted
it's really good.
Yeah.
It goes into anything, trust me.
There's this weird aftertaste I can't describe, but it's way better than normal vodka.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Aykroyd would be interested to know that.
What is that flavor?
You can put it in coffee. You can put it in
I'm going to say that
beer.
That's odd flavor you're feeling probably fades after 4 years.
Really?
Hmm.
It's not the same experience for you then.
No, but it was damn smooth. That's really good vodka.
And Brian, did you say that you can mix it with beer? Is that one of the things you were listing off?
Yeah. After Easter, I drove through a whole lot of traffic, and I just wanted... So I figured, oh, what the hell? I'll put some of the Crystal Head into a Smithwick's. I call it the Crystal Wick. It's really good, actually. I like the aftertaste of Smithwick. It's kind of a Guinness-like beer. But when you put the vodka in, it completely kills that. And replaces it with that sort of vanilla-y, vodka-y, Crystal Heady kind of aftertaste.
Aren't you not supposed to, like, mix hard liquors with beer in the same cup?
Man, who cares?
He's a writer. He does not prescribe to normal drinking rules.
No. I was going to say, I just had a window into his writing process there.
That's his
ritual. Taking notes.
Good.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to be drinking Crystal Head Vodka, those of us who are drinking, all throughout the show. And we're going to cut away to a song right now. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit about the very elaborate process of making Crystal Head Vodka and the very special crystals that it's filtered through from the mouth of Dr. Raymond Stans himself, Mr. Dan Aykroyd. But first, Hex, what do you got for us?
Well, it's kind of obvious that we're going to have some Ray Parker Jr. in this episode, so I just want to get it out of the way real quick. This is last Halloween. There was a mashup compilation from a series called Monster Mash, and this year's installation was called Phantom of the Mosh Opera. This was a mashup of Deadmau5's Ghosts and Stuff with Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters. So this is Ghostbusters and Stuff mixed by Voice Dude, and it's one of my favorites.
Well, like you said, Hex, Bustin' Just make us feel good.
Oh yeah, I'm already feeling better already.
With all this vodka, we're gonna feel real good tonight. Bustin' in vodka. Yeah.
Even call Ghostbusters. Something she just walks in mode. I think you better call Ghostbusters. Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters. Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters. You better call Ghostbusters. Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters. I can't hear you.
Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, good to see you.
It's a pleasure to be speaking with you, Dan. Just wanted to talk to you a bit about the Crystal Skull Vodka and its fascinating packaging. It's a really neat product. The thing I'm most curious about are the diamonds, the Herkimer diamonds that are in there. They say that they have spiritual properties, and I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Did you hear what he just said?
He was a Grey Goose fan until he met Crystal Head.
Yep, I was a staunch Grey Goose and Belvedere drinker.
People don't go back. Before the vodka gets...
Once they've had the Crystal Head.
Exactly. Before the vodka gets to those diamonds, we do a distillation process, which is four times, meaning we do not over distill. We leave a little of the sweet peaches and cream corn taste in there. Then we do a filtration through charcoal three times. And then we do a filtration through the Herkimer semi-precious crystals three times. And it's not what we put in Crystal Head vodka or what we pour it over that makes the difference. It's what we have left out. Most and many vodkas have glycol, citrus oil, and raw sugar. Glycol is antifreeze, citrus oil is a bug exterminant, and you don't need any more sugar and alcohol. So by stripping out these substances, we won a double gold medal at the World Spirits Competition. Herkimer, New York. On a geophysically and geopsychically anomalous region of the world where semi-precious stones come up to the surface of the earth and you can basically farm them out of a field or by the side of the road.
That's incredible. I didn't realize that's how it went.
As opposed to kimberlite pipe diamonds, which you have to mine for.
Yeah.
There's only one area in the world other than Herkimer, New York, Herkimer named for a Revolutionary War general, and that is in Afghanistan, where there's a 50 by 50 mile swath like in Herkimer where they stones just come up to the surface of the earth, and they are spontaneously there, as if the magma is pushing them forth. The crystal heads were purported to have come from the Star Children, according to the Navajo, the Aztec, and the Mayans. They were extraterrestrial devices given to the tribes as crystal balls. In the Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skulls movie, Steven Spielberg references the extraterrestrial origin of the crystal heads. Now, where was Herkimer, New York near? Near Rome Air Force Base. Oh. Check out the scramble orders in the 50s, 60s, and 70s from Rome Air Force Base. They went up after a lot of unidentified flying objects in that area of the world.
Wow, I had no idea.
So when I heard that we could put Herkimer diamonds into a cone and pour our beautiful, enlightened, positive thinking, pure spirit over them, I said, let's go for it, because it just ties the bow on our extraterrestrial legend and the concept of enlightened drinking and enlightened thinking.
That's incredible. That's really incredible. In that not particularly great, but definitely interesting Indiana Jones film, they suggested that the travelers were, in fact, extra-dimensional. Is that concurrent with a lot of the feelings on the crystal skulls?
Well, I would say that that's concurrent with a lot of feelings in domed craft propulsion and where these craft are coming from. And there are some schools of thought that say they are coming from a dimension near us or far from us, and not necessarily space travelers. So
right.
I think that's the hyper jump in that kind of thinking that they made, and David Kep and Spielberg decided to do that in the film, and I kind of like that choice.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And as you know, and today, you know, many physicists and theorists and string theorists and the superstring theory, the Cambridge monographs, all that stuff proposes that there might be as many as 11 or maybe even 23 different dimensions that are completely close to ours and might even be right next door. So
I had no idea the numbers were so specific. There's an ongoing Ghostbusters comic at the moment that, in my feeling, is actually the best written Ghostbusters thing that's not done by yourself or Harold Ramis. I was wondering if you had a chance to check it out.
That's out of Quebec, Canada, project, and I love what they're doing. They're really smart, those guys, and I love that it comes from a French-Canadian sensibility. That's really neat, you know. They're putting a whole new twist on those stories, and they've really mined them, and are really exploiting the characters in a quality and exciting way, and funny, and scary, and they're doing a great job.
Thank you so much, Dan. Really appreciate it. So that was my ABC Liquor Store interview with Dan Aykroyd on his Crystal Head Vodka Tour. It was a brief interview, but the man was a gentleman and made time for me, though there was a crowd there were a lot of people there, weren't there, Hex?
There were lots of people. The line practically wrapped around the ABC Liquor.
How long did you have to wait to speak to him?
2 hours.
Holy
two and a half.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah, two and a half.
Well,
two
worth four it. Hours.
That was awesome.
Sorry. Getting to be in his presence is enough.
Honestly, I was sitting there for 2 hours, like 10 feet from him. I'm like, this is amazing. I'm so close to Dan Aykroyd.
I'm just going to say what's on everyone's mind. After hearing him speak the way that he does, I would really like to see an issue of Atomic Robo where he just, there's like just 20 pages of him having a conversation with Dan Aykroyd. That's it. Nothing else. Just that.
I think
it'd be the most interesting issue.
There's room for that, yeah.
Volume 8, a casual chat with Dan Aykroyd.
Okay, I'm taking another shot, just so you know.
Okay.
I'm going to do that too.
Because that's what I do.
As you could hear, Crystal Head Vodka has some very mysterious origins to it, and it's pretty cool all the thought that he put into it. And also, the man is an encyclopedia of paranormal information, be it ghosts or extra-dimensional beings.
Down the hatch. It makes you smile.
So I asked him about your book because I really was curious to know if he'd, you know, read it and checked it out and everything. Like, he knew exactly what I was talking about, but you guys, IDW is not based out of Canada.
No.
No. I am, but that's about it.
Yeah. Just Dan.
That's kind of where it's just me. But I don't even speak French, so it didn't... Yeah, that's not going to flow, but... I think everything else he said was on par.
Yeah, that's the thing. He said all that, and at the time I was like, okay, well, I didn't know they're from Canada, but you know, clearly he's talking about the same book because I agree with everything he said.
Very, very humbled by his kind words.
Well, it is possible he was still talking about you guys. He just got the French-Canadian part mixed up.
Maybe he thinks it's possible
he's
what he was referring
man.
To was the 88 miles per hour studios comic from maybe like 7 years ago or so. They did a 4-part miniseries, and I haven't read it since it came out, but I did like it a lot when it happened. And now the rights have turned over to IDW, and you guys are writing the ongoing comic, which is amazing. And I was really, really excited for, because I'll be frank, when IDW started publishing Ghostbusters comics, I was really excited and then immediately let down.
Yes.
I was not a big fan of them for quite some time, and actually even went so far as I didn't bother to read the Infestation thing that that you wrote, Eric, until really recently.
Oh. Well, Infestation was my, I'm giving this one last chance.
And
I wound up loving it.
And boom, the ongoing series. How did you guys get this project started?
After Infestation came out, March of last year, it was getting good reviews, and you know, Tom wanted to build on the buzz because he really wanted an ongoing series. And he said, "Okay, you left an open ending. Come up with a pitch. Maybe we can do a one shot, or maybe we can do another mini series." Comes back a couple days later. "Okay, just give us a pitch for what you do for an ongoing." "Okay." "And Kyle, we'd love to bring Kyle back from Infestation, but he's busy. So we're gonna look for another artist now." I'm like, "Okay, great. I'll write the pitch, and you know, you get it now. I wrote up 16 issues worth of stories and send it off to him, and then I don't hear anything for like 3 weeks. And he says, "Oh yeah, they're gonna go for it." "Cool, awesome, great. Who do you want on art?" "I don't know anybody." "Have you heard of Dan Schoening?"
"Not that Dan guy."
"Yeah, no." "Have you heard of Dan Schoening? Is this the guy that they love on the message board that they were talking about when I was, you know, over there talking about Infestation?" "That's him. Cool." Then he calls me back a couple days later. "Dan doesn't know if he's going to be able to do it. He's got to see if he can make room in his schedule for you." "Okay." You know, and that's pretty much, you know, it was just Tom getting back to me with, "Maybe it's going to fall apart at any minute." And then it came together, and Dan was able to do it. And, you know, everything got approved, and Sony was happy, and IDW was happy, and I was needing a drink. So, yeah.
I'm so sorry to have stressed you out so much, Eric. I didn't know.
Typical Canadian, yeah.
Now the series is...
For the me being polite, or for me offering you a drink?
No, for you stressing me out, man.
Okay. Gotcha.
No.
So the series is ongoing right now, and the first trade was published very recently, first graphic novel collection. There's an intro in it by some guy I'm not really familiar with named Brian Clevenger. And
isn't he that webcomic guy?
Yeah.
Maybe
he used to be funny.
He does the ongoing Warbotten Accounting. I really like it.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was over. It was good, though.
Yeah, the artist went and did bigger and
better
things.
It was all right.
Brian, I was wondering if you could do a dramatic reading of that introduction for us.
That's how it came about before you do the rating, you know? Come on.
I think you should have a shot of vodka to warm up your heart before you do it.
Yeah. There you go.
To build up the courage.
Who is this Eric Burnham guy? I don't care how, first of all, how to pronounce your name properly. We're going with Burnham. Who is this Eric Burnham guy, and why isn't Brian Clevenger writing the Ghostbusters? An introduction by Brian Clevenger. I mean, seriously, here, I'll make the case against Burnham as clear as possible. Burnham. Not only is that a total waste of a perfectly good ham, which is grounds for jail time from where I come from, it's dangerous too. So far, this is not the kind of fellow I'd want handling my franchise. By contrast, let's look at Clevenger. Number one, handsome. Number two, gimme. Case closed. And how hard can it be to capture the voices of Murray, Aykroyd, Ramis, and Hudson at their best, and to brew up a story that builds on the mythos of a wildly popular franchise, effortlessly ties in to a couple of movies, a game, other comics, and holds its own as a fun, spooky action comedy while doing it. Let's face it, this hand burner sure makes it look easy, so, you know, can't be that difficult. But then with Dan Schoening's wonderful, energetic art capturing the look of the movie's cast through the lens of a cartoon series, and Luis Antonio Delgado's colors giving us a world full of the living and the ethereal, any old script would look just fine. And if there's anyone in this business who's accustomed to looking good thanks to the efforts of others, oh baby, it's me. In closing, handsome, gimme, thank you.
Is this really in the book?
This is really the opening.
Yeah.
Before you get to read the book, you read that.
Mm-hmm. I asked him to do it. It was one of the first things after the announcement. The first thing on Twitter is somebody pops up. Why isn't he writing this? The title of it was it was a tweet by somebody. I don't know who it was. Some random person that was just asking a question. Who is this guy and why?
In fact, he tweeted it at me. You know, who's this Eric guy, and why aren't you, Brian, writing it? And so I replied, well, you know, Eric's pretty good at it.
Beautiful. And of course, I found it because I'm you know, doing Twitter searches every couple of days, like a you know, psychopath. Ghostbusters IDW, Ghostbusters comic, Ghostbusters number, whatever. Yeah, okay. I have a problem. I need help.
There's one name that, that didn't get mentioned in that intro, and that's Tristan Jones. And I was wondering, guys, hopefully Tristan will be able to join us at some point during this episode, but I know Tristan from his work with Mirage Studios when he was working for the Ninja Turtles, basically. And he's very recently done the Infestation 2 Ninja Turtles crossover, which was really great. But he's a part of the Ghostbusters team. I have what I believe is an understanding of what he does with the book. I'm not really 100% certain of how it works. It seems to me that he does a certain amount of ghost design, and he does the back matter. Is that how it works?
Yeah, he does the Peacock files in the back of the issues, and he does a lot of the concept art for the ghosts that I kind of put in the book, kind of like Ellen Gould from the second issue. That's a really good example. And he's just amazing at coming up with something that's really scary, and he captures the scary elements of the Ghostbusters that was in the first movie with like the librarian and whatnot. So it's a really awesome jumping board for me to take that and kind of move it into the more of the cartoon style, so it still has that element of horror in it. So
that's a really cool balance you don't necessarily see too often in comics, is having sort of a character designer, at least for a specific kind of characters within the comics, and then, you know, a series artist adapting those characters. How did you guys come to that arrangement?
I think it was just kind of, we started off with the first issue coming up with ideas for the Idulness. Is that how we pronounce it, Eric? Is that how we do that?
You know, I never came up with a pronunciation for it. I was having a tough enough time coming up with the name for the character himself. So, you know.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is just an anagram of Dan and Luis. So I threw it into an online generator and picked one that worked.
So, yeah, we were just bouncing ideas off for Idulness, and ideas that Tristan was coming up with were just amazing. Like, he's an amazing asset to the team.
Well, you guys know what our response to the book was after we read it initially. What's been the general community response towards your series?
It's been really, really positive, actually. And it's the stuff I'm seeing from the vocal people are, you know, really loving the story and accepting the art, really loving the art and accepting the story, or waiting for Tristan to go back to Ninja Turtles so they can go collect that. It's one of those three that get the loudest thing. But no, mostly people have just been happy what we've been doing as a package deal, and you know, getting a kick out of the jokes, loving the Easter eggs that Dan just packs into all the pages, and having fun rereading them because of that. And, you know, so I've you know, nobody's come out. Some people have said, you know, it's okay, but nobody's come out and said this is garbage that I've seen, you know, and my Twitter searches. But yeah.
I found that the response is quite positive. Like, out of 180% of the people really like it. So it's nice. And there's some people that don't like the art style. That's totally cool. I think it's comics are a subjective thing, just like any other art form. I'm just honored and happy to be a part of this process. So it's and I'm enjoying drawing all this stuff. It's fantastic.
It's way too polite.
He's been winning them over, though. Don't let him fool you. He's been winning them all over.
Good. Good.
I've been sending them free vodka, that's why. Anybody who complains, I just get their address. They think I'm coming to visit them personally, but it's actually just a nice bottle of vodka. So,
have I mentioned how crappy your comic is?
What's your address, by the way?
Sucker.
How do you feel about the taste of crystals, Brian?
I am pro-crystal.
Well, let's take a musical break right now. What do you have for us, X?
Since there's some nerd buzz about this and some nerds going, man, I don't know how I feel about this, I thought it'd be appropriate to play an older Super Powerless track. This is I Like Ghostbusters More Than You.
How appropriate.
I'm going to let the track introduce itself. It's enjoy.
I like Ghostbusters more than you. 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 I like
Ghostbusters more than you. I like Ghostbusters more than you. I like Ghostbusters more than you. I like Ghostbusters more than you.
This is Dan Aykroyd, happy to be on The Nerdy Show.
Now, we've praised the comic quite a bit, but I've been really wanting to dig into to how you do it and why you do it and all those little secrets that you guys pack in. When I opened the first book and thumbed through it real quick, you know, hoping against hope that this ongoing series was actually going to be the Ghostbusters comic I've been waiting for, I saw a ghost of Jim Belushi talking to Ray. And that immediately sold me on the book. Like,
right on.
Yep.
Nail in the coffin right there. I was done. There was no way I wasn't picking it up. It totally delivered from that point on. And since then has just continued to do so. All kinds of hidden items in the images and certain characters we'll get into later who have we didn't really expect to see who are in the book. And all in all, it's a very impressive piece of work. But Eric, sitting down to write this ongoing, you said you pitched them at like a 16-issue set?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. What can you tell me about this crazy pitch of yours?
Well, I just... you know, sat down and went. There was a pitch I'd made a couple of years ago that was approved, you know, when they had time for it. I threw that in there. I threw a follow-up, you know, what Tom wanted, bringing Stay Puffed back from the ending I had in Infestation, doing that, setting it up, and, you know, just a couple other things that I threw together and wound up getting to 16 issues. Since then, it's kind of expanded a little bit because... you know, the upcoming event, the epic, the Haunted America thing wasn't part of the pitch. It was Tom saying, we need some kind of event, make something up. Okay, you know, and how about they go on a road trip? And, you know, so that wasn't in the initial pitch. But, yeah, no, I was just sitting down and, you know, putting down whatever came to mind off the top of my head. It's how I went about it. I don't know what else to say. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't a lot of forethought. I just wrote until they kicked me out of the restaurant. So yeah.
Now,
sorry, sir, you gotta go.
Yeah. We're closing up. We got a birthday party coming in here. Whatever. I don't remember what it was. They just said, you know, you're not going to eat anymore. You haven't eaten in a couple hours. Can you go?
I don't read previews or anything. I actually didn't know about Haunted America. That sounds really cool. Can you tell us about it?
Sending the Ghostbusters on a little bit of a road trip. Four done-in-one issues that are loosely tied together, like I said, by the conceit of going on a road trip. First city is they're hitting is Detroit, then New Orleans, Roswell, and Seattle. Tried awesome. Not to pick anything. You know, people were expecting Chicago, which I avoided. once Tom, you know, put the request in for Detroit. New Orleans was a lock. The rest, you know, was whittling it down what would be interesting to make Dan draw. But yeah, no, it's just you know, getting them out of New York City, which I hadn't actually planned to do until Tom asked for something different for an event, and I didn't want to do another world-ending thing necessarily just yet.
Yeah. I really wish they would go to Florida, because it's nothing crap here.
So many people.
Oh, it's so hot. Oh, the humidity.
So many people. Once the thing came out, I got emails and messages from people in Chicago and Florida. Why do you forsake us?
Because Florida just seems like it's haunted.
Because God already did.
Promises in the future, if they go again, I promise they'll go there.
I just think Miami needs to be cleaned out because it's very possessed. So
yeah.
Well, Miami. What about? I mean, St. Augustine is obviously the place to go for ghosts in Florida. Dark.
We have
Spanish
a lot of haunted
fortresses.
Alligators here.
Those are terror gators.
I think it's time for another shot. So I'm just gonna do one. No one else has to do one, but I'm doing another shot of Crystal Head. So
how's that shot, Brandon?
It's pretty good. I feel pretty dehydrated. I think it's working.
So, Eric, including Jim Belushi as a Blues Brother in the first issue, how did you come up with that? I mean, I know there's a certain amount of legalities that goes into certain like likenesses and books and everything. Like, how did that happen?
Well, I didn't ask. Basically,
that's the key.
All the forethought. Yeah, exactly. All the forethought that went into it. we figured it was covered under, you know, a little bit of parody. It didn't look exactly like him. It was more of a caricature, and we didn't name anything, you know. Basically, I know I was wanted to open it with a dream sequence for a specific reason. I figure, okay, spirit guide. Who else is going to be a spirit guide of a character created by Dan Aykroyd, played by Dan Aykroyd? Have to be Belushi. So that's, you know, that's pretty much how he got brought into the mix. And then, you know, there was buzz about it, and yeah, don't do that again, just in case.
Really? Yeah. They told you that?
They told us not to do it again?
They didn't tell us. They just suggested.
Okay. You might not want to do that.
You know? Yeah.
You may not be
go a little further back with your dead people, please.
Yeah.
It was you know, it was a just in case kind of a thing. It wasn't a, you know, nobody was mad.
Yeah. On a side note, I drew them a couple different versions of Belushi that we were thinking of popping in there. Obviously, the Blues Brothers one made the most sense, but I also drew him in the Animal House toga and the samurai costume.
Oh yeah, he had like five or six. They were cool.
He could always pop back up, but with a different costume, and no one would recognize him.
You
right?
could just use kinda the
like
other.
Superman.
You could well, just use the other Belushi.
Is supposed to be the ghost of John Belushi, anyways.
Yeah, so they can't really exist, I guess, in the same time. But
there you go.
Well, maybe one's his ghost and the other is his spirit.
I really do feel that it was a really beautiful way to kind of connect the world of the readership with the world of the characters. I mean, after all, Dan Aykroyd did say at one point that he felt that he and Belushi had this some kind of like really like spiritual brotherly connection. I thought that was really a beautiful thing. It was one of the main reasons I really wanted to know if he'd read the book or not, because I kind of hoped that he would have been touched by that.
Mm. Yeah,
I would love to have, you know, seen his reaction to it, but I'd be just as worried that he'd be somehow offended by it, you know, as touched. So, you know, I've just got that wariness about it. No, it was definitely meant in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I'd gauge it by, have you been contacted by anyone's legal advisors?
Yeah. Nope. Safe so far.
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
Mm-hmm. We're walking a thin
line.
Lucky
view on line two. We've got
Dan coming into to drawing for this book. Obviously, I've heard that you've been kind of been around in the world of Ghostbusters art. You were a known force. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started drawing Ghostbusters?
Yeah, sure. It started, I think it was back in 2005, someone commissioned me to do a Ghostbusters picture of them coming out of the fire hall. And I think it's still online somewhere, probably on my DeviantArt account. And that was the first time, like, I'd always loved Ghostbusters, but that was the very first time I'd ever drawn them. So, and I wanted to kind of go with a bit more of a stylized version than realistic and see how that kind of plays out. And yeah, ever since then, like yearly after that, I was doing fan art of the movie, picking favorite scenes and characters and stuff. I do like 13 ghosts every Halloween, so I'll pick from like the toys and the movies and kind of redesign them in my eye, and I have a blast doing it. I love doing that stuff. I was really honored when IDW asked me to come and do the Halloween one shot. A great experience. I kind of look back on that comic and cringe when I look at the art, but I know that it's a growing process. And I can even see a drastic improvement from the first issue that we've done. So, and I'm talking about the art, not the writing, Eric. The writing's always solid.
I haven't even been able to find that comic.
No, I've got a couple copies here. So send me your mailing address and I'll shoot it out to you.
Oh, thank you.
And some vodka.
Love that. Yeah, some more vodka.
That's right. You can send me the vodka and I'll trade you for the comic. Also with the video game, the Wii video game.
The video game, right? As in Ghostbusters, the video game, the one written by Ramis and Eckhart.
Yeah, Ghostbusters, the video game. Yeah, the Atari one. That's right. for the Wii version, there's a stylized look to the game, and they used some of my art as kind of inspiration and reference for that. So a bit of a kerfuffle with how that went down, but it all came out looking great at the end, and I really like that game a lot. It's a fun game to play, and yeah. So those are some little bits of my Ghostbusters history so far, and I'm looking forward to doing more.
That's a big first step into the world of official Ghostbusters stuff. Oh, well, it's just reference your art for this major video game release.
Yes. Some people actually said that you were the art director of the actual game.
Yeah, when you mentioned that earlier, that was funny. Yeah, no, definitely not.
You should just take credit for it. It looks good on your resume anyway.
Yeah,
I could.
No one's going to deny it.
I had a kind of weird, geeky comic question about the second story, the one that takes place in this, the amusement park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
We don't allow geeky questions on
There's this moment where we can see the color of the aura the demon sees of Winston and Venkman.
Yeah.
And I was curious, since the demon kind of describes Winston having a very compassionate soul and Venkman having a very greedy soul, if the color choice was kind of inspired by the couple of years back, the DC's run on Blackest Night.
Yeah, Luis Capto, yes.
Yeah, Luis, that was his idea. And he was like, I really want to do this with the characters. Are you cool with that? And I was like, yeah, that's an awesome homage to the Blackest Night and the Green Lantern Corps and all that. So, but yeah, no, that was Luis's idea. And I think it really, a lot of people really enjoyed that. So
I totally geeked out when that happened. I ran over to Cap like, Cap, look!
And I was I don't know, but it seems coincidental. The book is filled to the brim with Easter eggs. Now, one of the core reasons that I've brought Arceus onto the show is because, really, it's through him that I've understood just how in-depth you guys go with Ghostbusters lore and mythology all across the various continuities, deviations of the franchise. I guess I'm going to let him take the floor with this, but I'm a little bit in awe of all the things that have been included.
God, where do we even begin on that? Every issue, Dan, you just pack so many little references to people who are the huge fans like me into them.
I'm glad that you enjoy them. I have a ton of fun referencing them and remembering, like, I'm like, as I'm drawing it, I'm thinking, okay, what would that fit in there? I remember that episode really well, so I'm going to try and put that in there, you know? And I think a few issues I may have made them a bit too obvious. Like, I really want to try and make them subtle. So I think there's a couple that might stand out a bit much, kind of looking back at it, but I think it's fantastic that people are enjoying it, and they're just little extra bits, and they're for people that really know their Ghostbusters, right? So there's going to be people that are reading it that don't know it that well. It's not going to interfere with their enjoyment of the book, but if you can pick them out, it just, I think it adds a little bit extra. So
it really does.
When I started reading this book, it's what struck me about it was that the continuity appears, at least, to be the movies happened, the video game happened, so that's all canonical. And then the infestation event happened. Whether or not anything else, like the other comics, happened or not, it's kind of up in the air. All the Ramis and Aykroyd stuff is canon, and then, boom, here's the book. But, meanwhile, the book continually references stuff from, let's say, other Ghostbusters dimensions, all kind of pulling it into this mainstream Ghostbusters canon really beautifully.
I mean, you guys even referenced Sanctum of Slime in the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep, Tom asked for that. You know, he wrote the game. So, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yep. So,
yeah.
But, you know, it's one more thing to tie it together. And I like being able to, Dan has most of the fun with the references because, you know, he gets bored with what I write. But no, I like to try to throw things in too. I just don't have as much of a opportunity to do so as subtly as Dan when I'm trying to serve the story too. Every once in a while, though, I can get something in, and it's never as subtle as Dan's Easter eggs.
Let me give you a few writer tips on subtle.
Yeah.
I do a lot of research, and so, you know, we throw in references to historical figures and events and so on in the Atomic Robot comics. I'll send you a couple. Here's what you do. Just have the character say, you know, just, you know, point at the ghost or whatever is being referenced and say, "Remember that episode?"
Jotting it down now.
Yeah, please do.
Let's talk about one of the definitely not so subtle references, and that is early on in the series, we see that, boom, Kylie from Extreme Ghostbusters is working at Ray's bookshop.
Ray's cult. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge shock for me. She was easily my favorite part of that entire series, as she was for most people. I was wondering, you know, where that decision came from to include her.
I was just going to write in a new character, and then Tristan on IM saying, "It needs to be Kylie." What? It needs to be Kylie. Okay, are you sure people won't, you know, go crazy over that? I don't care. It needs to be Kylie. Okay, fine, cool. Write in Kylie. You know, and she's been fun to write. I want to actually work her into the book more now. Because you know, the character is just it fits a fun role. You know, somebody keep the bookshop in there, a researcher. You know, with all that the access to that, it opens up a.
Have her pick up Winston's proton pistol just once, and you will sell out an entire printing.
That'll just be the cover, and the entire comic will be empty. That's just the cover.
Yeah, see, there you go.
That will work.
We can do that.
I'm still waiting for the guy in the wheelchair to show up.
No.
That's all I want.
Nobody wants that. Nobody.
That's all I want. And Eduardo.
And I'm glad it worked out because I've never actually seen Extreme Ghostbusters.
So. Whoa! Wow!
I love that show. Yes. I don't know why. I don't think they would actually pick someone in a wheelchair just for safety reasons. I don't think that's the best way to go about exterminating ghosts. But
let's talk about Extreme Ghostbusters for a moment here. Dan, have you seen Extreme Ghostbusters?
I've seen a few episodes. I'm a really big fan of Phil Barlow. He's the main character designs for the show. He's from Australia as well. I've seen, yeah, like a couple episodes. I really love the designs. The stories were kind of here and there on it, but
yeah,
it's kind of hard to hold a candle to the original Real Ghostbusters cartoon. So
at least the first few seasons.
Yeah, at least the first few. That's right. And then when it became Slimer in the Real Ghostbusters, that was a bit of a turning
about
point.
That was the best
part. That show was only on for four seasons, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Brian? You have any experience with Extreme Ghostbusters?
Fuck no.
I want to change my answer to that next time somebody asks.
What about that show that was called The Ghostbusters, but wasn't actually The Ghostbusters?
You mean Filmation's
that?
Ghostbusters?
I watched the hell out of that.
Did
you? The gorilla? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never actually seen that.
Wow, dude.
It's not as good.
I just know that it had a monkey in it. And something about time travel.
Well, you know, Dan,
that's all you need.
For being as big a Ghostbusters fan as you are, this is really, you know, this is a Ghostbusters episode, so if people actually don't know about where this comes from, then I gotta lay it on the line right here. There was in the late 70s, there was a live-action show called Ghostbusters.
Oh, I know of it. I've just never seen it.
Okay. Well,
it's the Real Ghostbusters, or...
They willingly sold the title, Ghostbusters, to Universal, or allowed them to use it, and when...
And then when they started the cartoon, they decided to make a cartoon of their own, and that's why they decided to call it the Real Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Now, I'm not so familiar with the live-action thingamajig, but Filmation's Ghostbusters cartoon, well, it definitely was something that did create some brand confusion in my young mind. I knew it wasn't what I wanted, but that didn't stop my parents from accidentally buying me a VHS of it.
They're like, what is this?
Oh, my
and
son likes the Ghostbusters.
Their entire business strategy.
No, I recently actually tried to watch it on Netflix because all of it is available on Netflix. And I'd never seen the first episode before, and it's really quite long. And man, it is terrible. They got robot ghosts, you know, explain
robot
that.
Goats.
That's logical.
How does that even work?
And basically, there's like a ghost Dr. Doom with an organ that travels time and space, and they meet a girl from the future, and they bring her to the present, and they have a monkey, and there's like an old Ghostbusters business.
Okay, what you've told me is sounds like the best movie I've never seen in my entire life.
Agreed. Eric, are you taking notes?
I told you the plot of Ghostbusters 3.
We'll have Michael Bay direct it.
Oh, God. This interview is over.
In this case, I think he might be able to improve it, but...
More explosions.
So in this, the Ghostbusters are actually aliens.
Never mind. I take it all back.
You say it's starring Tom Cruise, yeah.
Yes. Hey, now we know who could... be the new Venkman since Bill Murray doesn't want to do it.
Oh. Tom Cruise. Ugh. Put some makeup on him. It'll be great.
Shut your mouth. Okay. Filled
it's
with
dirty.
Sin.
Go wash it out with soap.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he want to play that role anymore? Is he too good for it? Is he an asshole?
I don't know.
He might
it's be. Been so weird with Bill Murray and Ghostbusters 3. I mean, he accepted the Scream Award for Zombieland, dressed up as Venkman, proton pack and everything. Everybody thought he was going to announce it right then and there, and he just says, oh, I got no reason for wearing this. It's just something like all I had left in the closet or something.
What a dick.
And it's like, wow, what a dick.
Exactly. Like, I thought he was just teasing all of us fans with that. But now that he's actually not doing the movie, yeah, it feels like a huge dick move.
Maybe it's a conflict of interest. Maybe you guys don't want to say anything about it. But Eric, Dan, feelings on Ghostbusters 3?
I'll have feelings as soon as it hits the theater screen. Other than that, I'll just, you know, ever hits the theater screen, yeah.
April Fool's Day joke going around on Spook Central. The next four issues of the comic were going to be an adaptation of the script for Ghostbusters Hellbound.
Oh, yes.
You know what's embarrassing is I actually thought that was true. And I was like, why wouldn't I know about this?
Well, we're going to take a music break right now. What do you have for us, X?
Well, I got something from local pals, Sci-Fried. In their latest album, Future Tense, they actually have a track called We're Ready to Believe You. And I'm pretty sure y'all can guess what it's about.
Nice.
Back off, man. We're scientists. I get troubled by spooks and specters. Things that go bump in the night. Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement? Waking up with your hair all white. Is your fridge being invaded by Zool? That's the precursor to the coming of Goza. So when you pick up your phone to make that frantic call, you better not be calling no posers.
We came to play and we're saving the day. Stay puffed in this crew vest, get out of our way. We got the guides, be a Tobin and Shandor. Blast your ass back with a nuclear accelerator. That's what we got, strapped to our backs. We don't need guns, we're bringing the craft. So if you don't know, just bring out your dough. We're rolling Ecto-1 to the city of Ghostbusters.
We're ready to believe you.
We came, we saw, we kicked it in the ass.
Call us up, we're ready to believe you.
Spirits at the mall, now who are you gonna call?
Call us up, we're ready to believe you.
Vito's a mural too, his birthday he's gonna rue.
Call us up, we're ready to believe
Guess
you.
Guess what, New York?
We're ready to believe you. Bringing all our resources and our straight and slinkies to bust up the problem with your 50-foot twinkie. Dogs and cats can't cohabitate, and the mayor needs votes, there's no time to waste. Cause you pack on tight, stick ready to light, throw out your string. But don't cross them, alright, for a stinky tip. Now we're ready to flip, ride Liberty home with a Nintendo stick.
The grid is thick, we gotta wrap up quick. We've been shut down by a man with no dick. Now I work a double shift, what a giant prick. Dickless cost across dimensional rift. We got the gatekeeper, we got the key master. What we're trying to do now is avoid a disaster. We punch it out with a pretty pesky poltergeist. Then we rocked our honeys all night.
Call us up, we're ready to believe you.
We came, we saw, we kicked it in the ass.
Call us up, we're ready to believe you.
Spirits at the mall, now who you gonna call?
Call us up, we're ready to believe you.
He knows a mural too, first day he's gonna room.
Call us up, we're ready to believe
Guess
you.
Guess what, New York?
We're ready to believe you.
To lose, the Titanic just docked. Better throw out the Glock. You might as well hit a fuck in the head with a rock. Show the prehistoric bitch how we do it downtown. We ain't gods and we ain't clowns. He's a sailor in town. We gotta get him laid. That's how we roll when we're saving the day.
Call us up, we're ready to believe you.
We came, we saw, we kicked it in the ass.
Call us up, we're ready to believe you.
Spirits at the mall, now who you gonna call?
Call us up, we're ready to believe you.
Vito's a mural too, his birthday, he's gonna ruin.
Call us up, we're ready to believe
Guess
you.
Guess what, New York? We're ready to believe you.
Call us up, we're ready to believe you.
Yeah, we're ready to believe you.
Call us up, we're ready to believe you.
Yes, we're ready to believe you.
Call us up, we're ready to believe you.
Whoa,
we're ready to believe you. Call us up, we're ready to believe you.
What we got coming up is a track called Bill Murray from the Bill Murray EP. By rap group Sweatshop Union. It's a really cool song, and it's got a really cool video directed by one of my favorite rap video directors, Stewie Kubrick. We'll have a link to that on this episode's page. Check it out. Bill Murray by the Sweatshop Union.
Bill Murray.
Yeah, I keep it Bill Murray. Vision real blurry and it's still early. Suntory in my breast pocket, flask in my left pocket. Yes, got the best chronic stash, that's Bill Murray. Your Chevy chasing a dream, making a scene, running around wasting your steam. Matter how hard you try, you'll never wake up and be half the man me and Bill is, was then and still is, hands down the billest.
There really ain't another one, grand like your mother's mom. Hands off the comma bun, chill, you ain't Murray Bill, more like O'Reilly. So try me, there's only Zoo, there's no Mos Eisley. So Pete Bankman, smoke ghost weed, rob a bank in the clown suit without shooting. Thank you. Sweatshop is the damn crew. Genius Abbott Clan Woo. Serious delirium when Bill is on his Manchu.
I keep it Murray till I'm Murray. Underground dirty, even then still Murray. Steve Zizou, down to the Tucon. I keep crowds moving from the Yukon to Tucson. Top villain, nicest on the mic, yeah, still. Even Cottonmouth, you could call me Cypress Bill. Murray, feel that shit. Real classic, classic Bill Maddox.
What really fucking with old Wild William? Roam with the buffalo. The ill pilgrim might be the good guy. Likely the villain, but it's still just civilian. Bill up in the building. Skilled in the art of belittling idiots. Sipping hot pots of coffee, hitting rust in the cigarettes. Y'all need to kill it with that scripted gimmick shit. I spit on tenant bombs to keep it Bill legitimate, legitimate.
Bill's had it, Bill it to the game again. Cut like a razor's edge, don't attempt to rein him in. Background lounge laughing, handing out the Jameson. Murray doing that kingpin impression for the lady friend. Hey, hey, asking for the sacky. Cheers to your help, Bill. Pass the food on Mackie. Actually, who really the villain's classy? Kill him, Achilles, Bixby. Anyone feel us? Bitch, please, we feel the villains.
Who you gonna call? Call
Bill, 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 Bill.
Who you gonna call? Call
Bill, 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 Murray, 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 Murray.
So, Archaeus, I'd like for you to, at this moment in time, go off a little bit, nerdsplode about
nerdsplode
about all the
faces.
Things that you've seen in this comic that has wowed you as a Ghostbusters fan, as a proud wearer of several proton packs, various kinds of Ghostbusters accessories. You're in a one of the Ghostbusters regional groups.
Are we,
are you not?
Are we effectively
in between franchises at the moment? I moved from North Carolina, and I'm going to be setting one up in Wichita, Kansas.
Okay, that's awesome.
Are we effectively throwing a nerd grenade and ducking? Is that what we're about to do?
Yes, that's exactly what we're doing.
I'm getting the tissues ready for cleanup afterwards.
Okay.
Let me drink another shot of vodka before you eat this, because I might need it.
All right. Yeah. So it's one of the things that's really just instilled how much love and care goes into this book, and we've touched on it a little bit already, but encyclopedia, because I'm really curious. All right. What
I just grabbed the first issue and I'm just flipping through it now.
Okay.
Just walk us through every page of every issue. It'll take an hour.
Okay,
you know.
Sure.
Oh jeez. Oh, that's good vodka.
The moment that I absolutely fell in love with this comic was in the dream sequence, "Are you a god?" And Ray's answer to that.
Yes. Yes.
Let's get more nitpicky though.
Shows that he's learning though.
Let's do the equipment. Let's talk equipment right now, because that's been one of the big things that you've connected with.
That's true, and I'm one of the weirdos who can actually tell the different stuff that you've done here and there.
Right on. Thanks for noticing. There, as far as like the proton packs go, that was kind of like the design I had when I first started doing the fan art, right? So mm-hmm. I kind of kept that, and I was thinking, you know what? There's a few people who said, you know, it'd be cool if it looked more like the movies, and I was like, yeah, I think it would be a really good challenge for me to try and emulate it as closely as I can, and I always like to try and up the game every issue, so that's kind of the
reasoning
behind
that.
Thank you. Yeah. I really enjoy drawing them, the proton packs like the movie now, and I can kind of do it without looking at reference anymore because I've drawn them so many times, but
I'm still waiting to see the kitchen utensil meter.
The KUD?
Yes, the KUD.
Yeah, that'll be in there.
Where does that show up?
Within the next four issues. Like, or nice. They during the Haunted America arc, we're gonna. I'll throw it in for sure.
So there's a lot of things that Arcaeus has mentioned to me that I'm a little unsure of, like where they're even from. Where's the kitchen utensil meter from? The KUD.
Ghostbusters 2. One of the props that they had when the Ghostbusters go and investigate the museum for the first time, the one that Winston had is this device that has an antenna that is literally a kitchen a couple of kitchen utensils for the antenna.
It's like a lifter and a whipper or something.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. But it looks cool.
It does.
One of the earliest things that you mentioned to me, Arcaeus, was some like equipment from, I think, Extreme Ghostbusters?
Yeah, in the later issues, when they go to confront the third, the newly designed trap that Ray has looks a lot like a new paint job on the traps used from Extreme Ghostbusters.
Are you talking about like the dome-shaped one that kind of opens up on four sides? Or, oh, I see it.
It has three legs on it. I got the damn toy of the thing.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, that does look like kind of like the Extreme Ghostbusters one.
And it talks. The toy, not the race. And then the upgraded proton pack that Winston has pretty much looks exactly like the one from Extreme Ghostbusters.
Seems like you guys like Extreme Ghostbusters a little bit more than you're letting on.
Exactly. That's why I was surprised to hear that you guys had only seen a few episodes of it, or hell no.
I really like the designs on the show, like I mentioned earlier, and the trap is the mega trap that we used. I referenced the toy.
That's what I thought you did.
Kylie toy. And it was like a deluxe Kylie Extreme Ghostbusters toy. And I thought, that looks like a really cool trap. I'm going to try and drop that in. Luckily, Eric was cool with it, and we rolled on.
You guys know Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime. You guys know the Ghostbusters the video game. But have you heard about Ghostbusters Paranormal Blast, the upcoming mobile game for Ghostbusters?
I read a little bit about it.
I just read a little bit about it the other day, too, yeah. A couple of screen captures and the augmented reality thing, yeah? The phone?
Yeah. We were at PAX East this recent weekend, and I was surprised to see two air-inflated, large, very tall Stay Puffed Marshmallow Mans at this little unassuming booth. And what did I find over there but a brand new Ghostbusters game that I didn't know about, and I was really surprised to see it. I wandered up to the booth. I said, hey, I'm doing this Ghostbusters episode. I talked to Dan Aykroyd. I'm talking to the guys from the IDW comic, and they're like, oh shit, what do you want to know? And I'm like, I didn't know about this game till just now. Tell me everything.
Yeah, what is it? What format did you say it is?
Mobile.
Mobile, like on a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a game.
On a phone.
iOS.
On iPad.
It's not a game.
No, it's a game.
I don't know.
It's not a game. It is an experience.
Here, have a listen to what it's all about. Hey guys, it's Cap on the floor of PAX East with Adam Telfer, the VP of Game Design for what company?
Sorry, XMG Studio. We're from Toronto.
Okay, now you guys are developing a mobile Ghostbusters game. What can you tell me about it?
So it's a pervasive game which really puts you in the shoes of being a real-life Ghostbuster in real world. So you actually say you're in Boston at PAX East, you're actually capturing ghosts around the city of Boston.
So it's an AR game then?
AR game, so alternate reality, pervasive, augmented reality, whatever way you want to spin it. The only way we're looking at it is you're in the shoes of a real Ghostbuster.
Well, how does it work?
So it uses the compass, it uses a lot of the different features on smartphones to place ghosts around your location. When you've selected the ghost that you want to go capture, then you actually have to track the ghost using your phone. So this isn't just a game that you can play with one finger just staring down the screen. This is something you have to use your whole body rotating, trying to find this ghost. What's really cool, too, is that you can actually attach it to some of these plastic guns that we've seen so that you can actually be a full-featured Ghostbuster running around the city, shooting down ghosts, capturing them everywhere.
That's pretty cool. Now, there's a lot of augmented reality phone-based or say, Game Boy-based ghost hunting games. What makes this one different?
So we actually made Pandemica, which was our first game, which was an augmented reality game. Yeah, it was a simple kind of point and click. You shoot the guys, you move them around. I've played a lot of the Nintendo one. I have a lot of respect for those guys. And the Nintendo DS one's great. But in the end, the gameplay comes up a little shallow. Like, you just kind of shoot down stuff, very arcade-like experience.
Right.
We're going for something much closer to something like a Pokemon, where you've got this pervasive world, Boston. You now have to try to capture all the ghosts in Boston. So you have to move between cities, move between locations, maybe go to a church and you get like a crazy ghost. We always have a joke, like you go to a coffee shop and there's a coffee ghost kind of thing. But little things like that to actually push the user to run around the city versus just shooting a couple arcade things and putting the game down.
So is it actually like spatially reactive like that? Will it use, like, say, Google Maps something to know you're in a coffee shop or you're in a church and have a ghost type that associates with that location?
Of course, yep. As long as the user allows us to use that location data, we can use their location as well as hook into things like Foursquare, Google Maps, to say what all the different locations around them. And they're all tagged because all these users have already put in that data. Yeah. So we use that. Think of like Monster Rancher, like the old PlayStation game where they use the discs.
Yeah.
So that with locations. So that's what we're doing.
How rich will that data be at the time of the launch of the game? Like fully fleshed out?
Oh, completely. Like all we need to know is a couple tags and start randomly placing ghosts around those areas. And as that data becomes more and more complete, then we can use more and more data and the ghosts become better.
That's really, really neat. Is this the first time that that's happened in one of the ghost hunting games before? I haven't known. People have talked a big game, but I haven't actually heard someone say, yes, we are doing exactly that. We are having specific location-based ghost hunting.
So there's two games that come to mind, Life is Crime and Please Stay Calm. And they do a lot of location-based stuff. Had nothing to do with ghost hunting. There's a different genre, but that's probably the closest that I've seen that it's like location-based gaming. But they're not an augmented reality game. They're not like an arcade experience of shooting down ghosts, and they definitely don't have the Ghostbusters brand.
Now, I can understand how you'd be able to shoot ghosts on the phone. Can you trap ghosts on the phone as well? Do you need to slide the phone across the floor?
We were trying to do that. Didn't work as well as we hoped. We actually took a look at things like AR codes where you can print off a sheet of paper.
The QR codes,
So then we could put it on a box or something, and then people could slide that under. But the big thing is already we're asking the users to have an iPhone, run around the world. We don't want to ask them to be able to carry a ghost trap around with them. We were thinking about adding that a little bit later. It's going to be one of those games that kind of grows as the user base grows. So being able to add that feature, if people want it, print off that ghost trap, send it sliding along the ground to trap it. Right now, you just press a button, it shoots it out, and then you have to try to balance the ghost as it wanders into the trap. So it's pretty cool.
That sounds really neat, man. I've come into a couple other Ghostbusters titles, like, say, Sanctum of Slime, been a little bit apprehensive, like, I don't know if it's going to be very good, and kind of let me down, but this sounds very exciting.
We're definitely taking the best of things like the old NES version of Ghostbusters, right? Going around catching ghosts. But, the Ghostbusters brand has so much potential, and we're ecstatic to be able to work with them. So,
well, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
If they can make like artificial reality augmented reality based location data games, why hasn't someone made a Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego game yet based on augmented reality?
Wow. Yes. Brandon?
It's a gold mine. Fuck you, it is a gold mine.
No, that's what he was about to say. Yeah, that's brilliant.
That is a really good idea.
I know it is. I'm just saying. Any one of you can steal it, just put my name in the title somewhere. That's all I'm asking.
I'm stealing it. Where in the world?
Where in the world is Brandon?
That's a good.
It's a game where you track Brandon down via his Foursquare check-ins.
Is he in that tree? No, I think he went to South America. To continue the game, you have
he's
to fly
in
to
the
South
bathroom.
So, I was really surprised. You know, like I said, I was really surprised to see a new Ghostbusters game at PAX East. I did not expect that at all, and more so, I was surprised to hear about an innovation in augmented phone gameplay ghost hunting, because it's kind of like it's well trod territory. Lots of people do ghost hunting.
Well, they didn't have a
down.
Playable demo there, so we don't.
They
know.
Did.
Oh, did they, you see it? Did
yeah,
you get
there
to
was
see
a
it?
Ghost at PAX, from what I read.
Yeah,
but did you get to see it in action?
Slimer
yes,
with the
I
hat.
Played it. I attempted to trap Slimer.
So it is actually like a cool game. It's not just like, oh, this is a mobile app like Angry Birds and blah blah blah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's relatively simple. I mean, you have the camera. The camera's displaying what's in front of you, and they superimpose a 3D ghost into that space, and then you blast the ghost and you send out the trap, and like you said, you have to kind of balance the ghost towards the trap.
What's the art design for the ghosts? Like, are they more cartoony or more realistic?
They're somewhere in between.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was a PAX East Slimer wearing a baseball cap there. you know, just a demo creature, really.
He's a Bruins fan. You can't blame him.
And it was cool. And like, even if it doesn't get more complicated than that, the simple idea of like, I can go, you know, go on a trip or something and trap unique ghosts, that's really, really cool.
I'd like to see you do it on a plane. I want to see what kind of ghosts appear 35,000 feet up.
Well, you won't be able to get data that without the towers around being in the sky.
Aww.
Yeah.
3G? 4G?
4G. No, that's where all the deity ones are. You show up there, and then Gozer will arrive and ask you if you're a god, and then you say no, and you die.
You've captured God.
Gozer's captured you. He has sucked into the cell phone. There you go.
You guys should team up with these guys and get some of your ghosts in this game.
Yeah, I'd be nice. I'd be down with that. That would be pretty cool to see.
That would be.
I was really honored to see some guy did like a custom action figure of the third minion of Gozer.
Really? Oh yeah, that was cool.
Months ago, yeah, it was the guy went all out and it looked amazing. It was on eBay. I think the guy sold it on eBay, but it was awesome. Quite humbled. It was really cool looking.
Was it made from old Ghostbusters figures or something completely new?
I think he customized it from like a Venom figure or a Carnage figure. The fingers Carnage are kind of the sense. Same.
Let's talk about you guys' projects, actually. Like, what did you do before this comic, and what are you planning on doing during the production of this comic? Do you have any other projects?
Before this, few creator-owned things, because, the short stories and anthologies, whatnot. Then all the stuff at IDW, A-Team, and Gene Simmons' House of Horrors, and some video game thing that's been long forgotten. I can't even remember the title of it. It was like Pokemon. Yeah, and then an issue of The Simpsons, and then it's all been Ghostbusters from there, and a Ninja Turtle thing upcoming. That's
you're doing Splinter.
Doing.
I was really excited about that.
Oh, so you knew what he was doing. You just wanted him to say it.
Oh, I actually forgotten it just now.
I'm sitting here on the spot going, oh, what else did I do? What else am I doing?
He knew
God, I don't remember. The editor, Bobby Kernow, he just sent me a couple of pages of the finished art, and it's wow. I'm really lucky that, working with Dan and Charles and such, the artists are making me look so good. It's nice.
Well, I have enjoyed the new TMNT micro series they've been doing, the one-shots based on characters, and this is the first Splinter one-shot that I can remember, actually, of any Turtle series ever in comics. So that's pretty cool. What can you tell us about that?
Nothing.
Well,
I'm not allowed to say anything, man.
Will it have Splinter in it?
Yeah, that's what I was
going to say. It will have Splinter in it, yes. It will have one page with the Ninja Turtles, which, is the only place I was able to put a joke. So it's going to be a little different than the Ghostbuster stuff. It's not as much humor to it.
My one question is, are the neutrinos in it?
Yes.
Because that's all I care about.
Neutrinos in mine. No neutrinos in mine.
But don't...
What about Rossetti and Bebop?
Here's where you're treading on dangerous territory, because in IDW's new continuity, there is, in fact, a Rocksteady and Bebop, though. As of this moment of recording, they have yet to be transformed into their mutant counterparts. And in fact, Brandon, the new General Krang character that they're working with as actually waging war on a planet Neutrino.
Oh, snap.
So, I don't think you're going
to have the three cool kids and their flying convertible Cadillac.
I very much doubt you're going to see the Neutrinos that you know and love.
Because if they put them in, they've made a sale,
buddy. It's going to be the Neutrinos after going through war.
They just look like little elves flying a fucking Cadillac.
The Neutrinos are about 6 years older. All of them are gruff, have scraggly beards, even the chick.
Cybernetic eyes.
They've got to have cybernetic eyes, and that flying Cadillac now has guns all over it.
Well, Shredder did that already to their flying Cadillac, so.
God damn.
It shot eyeballs.
Let's. I'll rein in the turtle nerding out a little bit. But I am curious, Eric, with this new Turtles continuity that they've established with a very very different origin story. I mean, not as different as Aliens, but.
Yeah.
Like, with all that going on and dealing with Splinter, I know you said you can't say anything, but like, how did coming into that, would you find that like difficult to work with or liberating to work with this this alternate continuity they've developed?
Well, like I said, without saying too much. In fact, I'm worried now, even though a couple of panels of this character and that character doesn't get into too much. I'm worried that I'm gonna get it bopped in the head. But no, it was different. Splinter's a different character than any character I've written before. Most of them, pop culture humor or, light banter has featured in like 99% of the stories I've written, and it just didn't fit here. So, that was difficult and liberating at the same time. The continuity, the stuff that I was allowed and not allowed to do, they was all upfront about what they wanted in the story, the kind of tone and the kind of stuff I was again allowed to do and not allowed to do. So it wasn't difficult. It was a fun time. It was a lot of fun writing the story. I'm tripping over my words because I'm trying not to
yeah, of course,
blab something out, and I caught myself. I almost said something and then
Bobby turns into a ninja and he's right here, and you know, you hear me die on the phone.
Yeah. Dog
but
and
no,
cats living together, mass hysteria.
Yeah, see, but I thought it was going to be a lot harder to write than it was. I had a lot of fun doing it. I'd love to do more if they ever let me back. Yeah, we'll see.
And how about you, Dan? Projects, past and present, and maybe even future.
I first started off doing work with DC Comics back in 2006, and I did some short animations for them in Flash. And I think they're still on their online site, but you can check it out sometime. And after that, I started doing books with DC, and we did quite a few early reader books. So they're not like comic books, they're more like chapter books. And those were all based on the animated series, so I had to emulate the style that Bruce Timm and the team have created over the years. And that was a lot of fun. So I really like drawing Superman and Batman and The Flash and Green Lantern. So yeah, that was great. And then I got into doing the Ghostbusters ongoing. So this is kind of, I did a Kung Fu Panda comic book as well in between the Halloween issue and then starting the ongoing. And that's from Ape Entertainment, and I really enjoy doing that. Yeah, since the Ghostbusters ongoing, it pretty much takes up my entire month, so I don't have any extra time to devote to any other art projects right at the moment. But perhaps when we've kind of run out of juice, maybe we'll try looking at some of my own properties or something like that. I'd like to start doing kind of my own ideas eventually, so...
Brian, since you're so handsome and gimme, what is it you would have done if you were offered this Ghostbusters gig that was so rightly yours?
Yes. Hold on, I gotta get a pen.
Oh, yeah, please do. I would have made it good. I would have done a completely different job, so it would have been funny and well-drawn. I would have gotten a better artist. I have no real answer. It's more than actually I would be horrified, like if at any point, like if I had been offered, you know, the gig, I would have had this moment of extreme joy followed by just total terror, and I would have been frozen and not been able to do anything.
What in God's name do I do now?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I've thought about it long before this series came out, you know, like in 2001 and stuff. You know, oh man, I'd love to do a combat with this, but no.
It's a difficult thing to take on something that means so much to you. I think it's it'd probably be no surprise to most listeners that you, creator of Atomic Robo, are very inspired by the Ghostbusters in many ways, and
really, I never even noticed.
We're very subtle.
Exactly. Yeah, I never saw it at all.
Well, super fan Archaeus, did you catch the Ghostbusters reference in one of Brian's recent volumes? Like the very specific Ghostbusters animated series reference?
Oh.
There are four action scientists named after the voice actors for the real Ghostbusters.
I did not notice that.
Well, they're just voice actors. Nobody noticed.
Typical.
Well, I'm going to do my fifth shot of Crystal Head Vodka.
Oh,
right
God.
Now.
I sent you guys a link recently that was a very strange Ghostbusters thing that popped up recently. It's in the webcomic Homestuck, which is, of course, a webcomic that has a massive fan following, but it is a tough nut to crack. It's a lot of work getting into it, and I haven't spent the time on it.
But friend challenge of mine, accepted.
Yeah. Well, let us know how it goes. A friend of mine showed me that recently there's a few episodes where they play a Ghostbusters 2 MMORPG that is a terrifying dreamlike scenario of a bunch of people dressed as Ghostbusters wandering around with like character customization that lets you like stick a furry head on you and then like wander through these kind of Windows 95 sort of backgrounds with Stay Puft Marshmallow Men.
If I see a
men.
Furry person wearing a proton pack, that's the first thing I'm shooting at.
Sounds like my first comic convention.
So I'm gonna link to that on the episode page. It is surreal. I've had dreams like that before, where you play a video game that doesn't exist, and your whole brain kind of feels broken when you wake up. It's definitely a lot like that. Maybe that's not a shared experience. Anyway, guys, really awesome to get a chance to talk to both of you. I'm excited for the Ghostbusters road trip across America. I'm excited for everything that's coming in the future for the Ghostbusters ongoing series.
Definitely.
For those
Thanks
of you,
very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
For those listeners who haven't checked it out, we'll have links to where you can pick up this book on this episode's page, and you really should. If you've ever loved Ghostbusters,
Absolutely.
You're going to absolutely love the series.
I didn't get a chance to mention it, but one thing that really resonated with me on this comic is how much you can just hear the voices of the original actors.
Exactly. The characterization is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's the one thing I've been shooting for.
Oh, yeah.
That was my goal from Infestation on.
And Winston, you're doing Winston so much justice.
I love Winston in this. And what I love most was in issue 7, getting to see Venkman's shine as an actual psychiatrist.
I didn't see that coming.
That was hard. That was hard to write. Yeah, that was an idea I had early on, and it got pushed to the little sooner than I was thinking we would get to it. But yeah, it was a challenge.
Yeah, it was very well done, very masterful. I enjoyed reading it so much.
So he's a real psychiatrist.
Yeah.
See, I always thought
he actually has a PhD.
See, I thought that given his character, he was only in psychology to like talk to pretty girls.
That was basically it. But he still got a degree.
He still did the work.
And he says that in here. It's like, yeah, that's mainly for wall decoration, but I do have an actual degree. Let's put this to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So if you wanna check that out, that's in the recent issues. So it'll be in the second collection. You should definitely pester your comic book retailer for getting those issues. Or I guess you can probably download them digitally, can't you guys?
Yep.
Off of Comixology.
Comixology, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So you should go to your comic shop and say, "Hey, do you have Ghostbusters IDW?" Because if not, I'm going to Comixology.
Yes.
And watch them run.
Also, you're like, "Oh, sure, I'll get that for you."
Also, check out some of this Crystal Head vodka, because I've had about 5 shots and my words are beginning to slur. And you know that flavor I was talking to you about? I think I pinpointed it. I think it's Echinacea.
Shots of it, and I'm about ready to grab my proton pack.
Yeah, I have to wake up at 7 a.m., so this is a great idea. So, I'll probably have 2 more at least before I go to bed. So it'll help.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
How you doing, Brian? How's your drink count?
1.
Doing good.
I think you should start drinking Crystal Head before you write.
He says, no, I do Sliver.
It's his co-writer.
Even gets a credit sometimes.
Yeah, it's, you know, on the covers it says, you know, Clevenger, Wagner-Rimmer, Crystal Head. So
I want to pass out now.
So. All right, yeah, let's do it. Let's wrap it up. Thanks again. Well, shit, now I'm slurring my words. Okay.
It's because I'm sending out these existential vibes.
Yeah, you're really...
positive goodness and...
You're
and
really sending positive
brain
vibes
frequencies
my way.
To you from this vodka.
I can feel the crystals. I can taste them even. So, thanks again so much for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank
you.
It's been a real blast, and I'm really looking forward to the rest of the comic. Yeah. What do you got for us, Hex?
Well, I recently got the chance to torrent an old video game music collection called VG Mix. It's there are over 1,500 tracks of video game remixes.
Which you will be giving to me later.
Yes, sir. And I love it so much, I'm going to be dedicating this month's Hex Grid to it. So that was an idea from Cap, and I couldn't turn it down. From that, we have a remix from Ghostbusters 2 from the NES.
Nice.
And this is by the Orichalcum, and this is Gutbusters.
So, everybody, look forward to more Nerdy Show Prime episodes in the future. If you like what you heard, you can feel free to support the show. We are listener-supported, and we will give you cool perks in your email. If you send us some money, even $1 is very much appreciated, and we'll get you a whole big, fat-packed email full of cool stuff. And you also get to participate in whatever support drive we have that month. So just go to the website, nerdyshow.com, and see what we're up to. Thanks again. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Hex.
Brandon.
Me.
Remember, stay sharp, keep fit, make good decisions.
And that was our case.
And thanks to Eric Burnham and Dan Schoening for joining us. Here we go. We'll be right back.
transfer.
One, two, three, go!
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, Dungeons and Doritos, comics, videos, and more, go to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Nerdy Show or friend us on Facebook. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, give us your money by visiting the Nerdy Show store and picking up a t-shirt or donate directly to cool nerdy perks.
So, Arceus, you presented me with an interesting reading from Tobin's Spirit Guide this evening. Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Wait, hold on. Tobin's Spirit Guide, like, is there's a real one?
That's kind of sketchy. A lot of fans have produced their own version of it. What I'm going to read for you is from the Ghostbusters wiki, and a lot of the information is pulled from the digital version of Tobin's Spirit Guide, which is from the Ghostbusters video game.
That's awesome.
A reading from Tobin's Spirit Guide. Gozer, an obscure deity. Gozer the Destructor's earliest known appearance was in Mesopotamia around 6000 BC and was worshipped by both the Hittites and the Mesopotamians. It rose to prominence in Sumeria thousands of years later. During that time, various cults arose to worship it and in a short time developed their own hierarchy and system of ritual magic. By 4th millennium BC, the Gozer worshippers, or Gozerians, consisted of a large Sumerian subculture and was engaged in a long protracted war with the followers of Tiamat.
Eventually, Gozer and its followers were defeated and Tiamat banished Gozer from this world.
So, you know, I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
A certain, you know, a goddess that I worship happens to be all-powerful, as I said.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.